Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, August 24th. We talk plumbing today. If you have a plumbing issue, a question, anything that's been on your mind regarding plumbing, and who doesn't? Ian Cowan of Mr. Reuter Plumbing is here today, Mr. Reuter Plumbing of the Hudson Valley. To join today's discussion, call 800-348-2551. Again, that's 800-348-2551. It's Plumbing Today on Vox Pop. Your calls are coming up. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. That works. But, we'll take some calls on this call-in program, which we will do right after the news. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, if you're not too handy with a wrench or savvy with a plumber's snake, certain home maintenance projects can be impossible to do without the help of a real professional, like a master plumber. Well, we have a licensed master plumber in the house today. Ian Cowan joins us once again. He is with Mr. Reuter Plumbing in the Hudson Valley. He specializes in everything from drain lines to well pumps. He is here to answer your questions. So if you're stuck, backed up, or confused over a home maintenance or plumbing issue, now's the time to call 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. I'll be manning the email myself. I will do my best. If I miss your email, don't hold it against me too much. Ian Cowan, nice to see you back in the studio. How you doing, man?
It's good to be here, Ray. We appreciate it.
You look like you may be a little tired. You overworked now?
We're busy. It's good, though.
That's
I'm
real
not complaining.
Good.
Yes.
So we have a lot of calls already, and an email came in several minutes ago from Jennifer, and the subject heading is grrr. So you know it's not good. Jennifer says, I have a clogged toilet and have used a snake to no avail, and chemical drain declogger has not worked either. A small flood ensues. There are not other plumbing issues with the sink, shower, dishwasher, etc. So do I need to call in a professional, or is there anything else I can try? Thank you. That's from Jennifer.
Well, usually what you want to do is you want to cable the drain. That usually requires a professional. But
how is that different from snaking?
Same thing. Terminology. So over the years, Ray, we try to stay away from words that are offensive.
What are you going to offend the snakes? What are you talking about?
Usually we're dealing with housewives, and we have a short piece of pipe. The technical term is a nipple, so we would rather call that a short piece of pipe. The item in your toilet is called a ball cock, but we instead call that a fill valve. The sill cock is the outside faucet.
I asked, all right? Ian Cowan is our guest. I've had enough. It's 800-348-2551. Before we get to the phones, here's another email from Barbara. Trap under the sinks always leaks. My husband replaces pipes, but they still leak. Is there a secret cure? That's from Barbara.
No offense to your husband, but they have to be installed right. So usually the trap, there's a trick to a trap. So when you install a trap, there's three nuts that need to be tightened. And the trick is you tighten this, you get them all hand tight, just a little bit, just started, and then tighten the center nut first and then the other two. Otherwise, the trap can get a little cocked to the side and it'll leak. So the trick is tighten the center nut first and you should be fine.
All right, you're in a bad mood today, aren't you?
Me?
You're a little snippy today. Are we going to make it through the show?
We'll be fine.
Okay,
man.
You want us to order out for some drinks or something, calm things down?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, man. Ian Cowan is our guest. Let's go to the phones, 800-348-2551. I apologize in advance, listeners, if Ian bites your head off, but let's just give it a shot. Annie in downtown Troy. Annie, you're on.
Yes, this is Annie, and I've lived in my house for 42 years. It's 1880 brownstone, so it's 25 feet wide and 80 feet long with a complete full basement.
Okay.
And after being here for about 4 years, the buildings behind me, a little bit higher on the hill, were developed. So things changed a bit. But my basement has a line of moisture that goes from the back of the building all the way to the front of the building, as if either I have an underground drain that's cracked, or there's a little stream running underneath my house, or there used to be a two-story carriage barn, and it had a drain, so maybe that's broken and leaking. But the thing that is more difficult in the last 20 years is I see water down. We never have a flood, but I see damp bricks, even when we've had a drought.
Okay.
So I think that it's something bigger than my house.
All right, let's see what Ian has to say.
Well, good afternoon, Annie. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
I would first see if you can get a local plumber, somebody who has a camera, and maybe camera your drain lines to make sure that there's nothing there. But based on what you said about the elevation and the other homes, it's probably just groundwater. So if they camera the drains and they don't see any breaks or separations, then your best bet is to install some kind of drainage system to get rid of the groundwater. So somebody can put in some pipes that usually they're perforated. They have holes in them. They're surrounded by gravel. Sometimes they're sleeved. And then they run that off to what we call air, meaning that they go to a spot that's open and just drains the water away from your house.
Well, the thing is, we don't actually have water on the surface. And I had a wood floor, and under the wood floor is a brick floor. So to pull up the brick floor is a monster job.
No. I'm talking about on the outside of the house, Annie. So have somebody camera the lines to make sure there's no problem. If there is a break in the line, there are materials that can be used to reline the pipe. And there's companies that can do that in your area, I'm sure. They can reline the pipe. They can cut in tie-ins. There's a lot that we can do without actually being intrusive if there's a problem with your pipe. If not, you can actually reroute and guide the
exterior French drain kind of thing.
Correct. But I would check the piping first, because if you do have something broken, then that will need to be addressed.
Annie, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. It is 800-348-2551. We'll go over to Ryan in Warwick, New York. Ryan.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Nice to have you here.
Thanks. I was just on my way out to the store, so we'll see if I need to go or not, depending on the answer to the question. So a couple of weeks ago, the bathtub shower diverter, the little thing that you pull up, it broke off. So I went to the hardware store and got a new diverter, put it on, and from the moment I put it on, it seems to leak. The button never wants to go all the way up into the shower or all the way down the bathtub. Do you think it's possible that I put it on incorrectly? It's pretty straightforward. Or do you think maybe it's a defective part and I need to replace it?
Like you said, it's pretty straightforward, Ryan. So depending on which one you bought, you may want to check and make sure that the washer's still in there. Some of them are removable, so there's a little like a lever or a piece there that you pull up on. You can usually unscrew that, and you can pull out the assembly. And if you do that, you can check to make sure that the washer's in place. It may have gotten damaged or may have just been defective when you got it.
Gotcha, or maybe just like a little bit, not seated on there all the way.
Correct, or there could be some debris in there that you can just rinse out and put it back in.
Okay.
All right, Ryan.
Well, I'll do that first. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ryan. We appreciate it. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, joined today by Master Plumber Ian Cowan of Mr. Reuter Plumbing in the Hudson Valley. Let's go over to line 4, and Gene in Schenectady. Gene, you're next.
Hi, my question is, we just bought a house where we're redoing the bathroom. We're installing the shower jets, and I didn't realize that it was at a flow of like 10 gallons per minute. Is a 2-inch drain sufficient to manage the flow of these jets?
Very good question, Gene. So a 2-inch drain can handle 20 gallons a minute, according to the International Code Council plumbing code. So you should be fine.
Very good. Thank you. My second question is, the toilets that were there are in really good shape. However, there was no water softener or iron removal. There is a tinge of brown iron. What is the best way to remove that?
That's a good question for a cleaning lady.
So, oh, really?
I can just tell you what people tell me. They use products called CLR, and then there's another product called X14 that my wife stands by. She loves that. It cleans just about anything in the bathroom, mold, mildew, iron, all that stuff. But that really isn't my alley, so I'm not standing behind those. I'm just telling you what other people tell me.
Okay.
Greatly appreciated. Have a nice day. Thanks. Thank you.
You're very sexist today. What's going on? Cleaning lady? Come on now, man.
Sorry. Cleaning person.
21st century.
Person,
there you go. Cleaning person.
My
robot.
Wife owns a cleaning company. So
oh, really?
I think of my wife when I say that, yes.
Well, we like CLR. That stuff works really well. Let's go. We have time for one more before the break, at least here. Let's go to Elaine in LaGrange. Elaine.
Hi.
Hi,
Ian. Don't let Ray pick on you too much. I think you're quite pleasant.
Thank you. Hi. I like Ray.
I have a water holding tank in my utility room. It's not a hot water tank. It's a tank that draws water from my well. And I recently had my softener serviced, and the fellow who was doing it told me that the water tank kept clicking. And every time it clicks, it's activating my well pump, and it can wear it out rapidly because it's not working. The holding tank isn't working properly. He said it needs replacing and because it's something that can't be repaired, and it's about a $1,000 job. What do you think of all this?
Well, a couple of things. So is it a big blue tank or a big gray tank?
Ooh, I don't know. Can okay. I go look at it?
Well, if you can do it quickly.
While you're talking, I'm going to go look at it.
Fine.
I don't know.
So there's two options. There's a newer style tank that actually has a bladder in it, and then there's an older style tank that are usually gray. Sometimes they're painted, but they usually come gray, and they actually have a float mechanism in there to keep some air in the tank. And basically what that is, it's a buffer so that every time you open your faucet, your well pump doesn't kick on. So that gives you a little buffer. And there's usually a 20-pound differential there. So meaning you may have – there's a switch on the tank that's usually a 30-50 or a 40-60. So when your pressure hits 60, it shuts down. When the pressure drops to 40, it turns the pump back on and pumps up to 60 and then starts again. So the clicking is usually not the tank, but there's one quick, easy way to test that. So if you're in front of the tank, which I know you're going there.
Are you there?
I am here right now. Let me just try to get this light.
Oh, this is exciting. This is great.
Falling off the wall here. It's a light gray tank, by the way.
Okay. Is there a little
you're going to ask me if there's a gauge way down on the bottom on the floor?
Nope. On the top.
Okay.
On the top, there should be maybe a cap that looks like it would be on a bicycle tire or a car tire. Do you see that?
Cap.
It looks there's where you'd put air in it. It looks just like the fill valve on a bicycle tire or a car tire.
Oh, well, there is something here that kind of sticks out off the. Oh, this is harder than I thought. The top. I can't really.
For God's sake,
you.
Don't hurt yourself. I couldn't live with myself.
Behind my water softener.
So I'll tell you what. So you can do it later, or somebody else can do it if you can't get back there. But I'll just tell you. So, real quick and easy. That if the water's off and it's drained down, that should have an air pressure reading of 2 pounds below whatever your pressure switch cut in pressure is. So if you have a 30-50, that should be 28. If it's a 40-60, it'll be 38. You don't need all that information right now. I'm just telling you for the future if somebody asks you.
Okay,
so
good.
All you want to do is you want to real quickly, just like you were checking the air in a tire, you just push in the little center button of that, it's called a snifter valve. And if air comes out, then the tank is not, if it's a bladder tank, it's not broken. If water comes out, the tank is broken.
Uh-huh.
The clicking.
I'm pushing on it. And what I have here, and nothing's happening, and it doesn't really look like something would pump air into.
Depending on, but if you're not getting any water, chances are you just have somebody check the pressure, and they may need to add some air to it. It might be the older style tank where you actually have to add air.
So that can be replaced.
Well, it can be refilled. The tank itself usually can't be repaired. He's correct, but the clicking is usually the pressure switch telling the pump to kick on, and there's reasons for that. It could be a bad check valve. You could have a leak, a running toilet. Could be a million things that are not related to your tank.
All right.
So
okay.
I would have a second opinion. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So I could just call a plumber.
Correct.
A regular plumber can just check that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And does the clicking wear out your pump after a while?
It does, because what the clicking is it's telling your pump to kick on. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So just call somebody who does well pumps.
Okay. So have it checked.
And, yeah.
Well, call someone who does well pumps.
Correct.
Is that it?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Elaine. Thanks a lot. That was an exciting call. Let's take a break. I got to hose off here. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Plumbing Today. Ian Cowan is our guest. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Vermont Coffee Company. Offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores, Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. Preservation League of New York State, offering EPIP, a revolving loan program to acquire, stabilize, and restore historic buildings in New York, so our past has a future. Claire Pearson, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, for 14 years, offering plant spirit medicine and energy clearing for health, body, mind, and spirit, clarepearson.net. Chesterwood presents The Nature of Glass, an outdoor contemporary sculpture exhibition curated by Jim Shantz, featuring artists incorporating glass in their sculptural work. Chesterwood.org for details. Waterwheel Village, Galway, New York, specializing in extra-sharp New York cheddar since 1923, offering imported and domestic specialty cheeses, nostalgic candies, and more, waterwheelvillage.com. And the Albany Pine Bush Preserve, presenting Hudson River Valley Ramble programs at the Discovery Center each weekend in September, albanypinebush.org.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. It's 800-348-2551 if you want to weigh in. Or if you have an email question, you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. And Ian Cowan, this one came in from Andrew via email. And I don't know if you do this. It's an oil furnace question. What should be done to my furnace for annual maintenance?
For an oil furnace?
Yeah.
Absolutely clean. They call it nozzle filter strainer. It should be done every single year.
Okay.
We don't do oil, but I know about oil.
Okay. And this one came in from Rebecca, who says, hi there. There has always been an issue with the cold water pressure coming out of the kitchen faucet only. It's extremely weak. The cold water pressure is just fine, normal everywhere else. The washing machine and the bathroom sink, which is on the second floor, and shower. Thoughts. And then she PS'd, I'm at work, so maybe don't mention my name. Don't! Sorry about that, Rebecca. I apologize.
Again, just keep saying it, right?
Okay. Rebecca.
So probably just the usually it could just be a stem in the faucet. It could be a couple other things. Could be the supply line, but something's probably clogged, and it's really not a huge deal. You can probably have somebody just shut the water off, pull the stem out, and clean it and put it back. But it's usually just something clogged in that faucet.
All right, back to the phones we go. And Laura in... Oh, did I hit the wrong button, for Pete's sake?
Yeah,
Laura in Catskill, are you there?
Yes.
You're on.
Thank you. I'd like to install a water filter for the entire house. How do I know which one would be best? And do I still need a water filter for the kitchen sink to guard against anything that might come from the very old pipes?
Well, first question for you is, what are you trying to filter out? Just dirt and sediment, or is there a bacteria? Is there, did you have, you know, something wrong with the land? Do you know what's in your water that you want to take out?
Well, trihalomethanes have been found in the municipal system that I'm in, and I'm also concerned about any heavy metals and just anything else that could be harmful to health that I don't wish to bathe in.
Okay. You also don't wish to brush your teeth in or cook with or drink.
Yes. So, yes, exactly.
There's a couple of different options. I would get a test done on your water to find out exactly, because the information that I'm giving you is just going to be generic. But there is a filter out there. It's called a point-of-use filter called an XL7000, and that goes underneath your kitchen sink and your bathroom sink. Mm-hmm. If you're worried about bathing, you can put one in. You have to find a place to put it, because there's usually not easy access to a tub, but they work for one fixture. They also make reverse osmosis systems that I don't generally recommend, because they take everything out of the water, so it's not there's nothing there when you drink it. But for a situation like this, that might be the right way to go, and you can get a whole house RO system, and then you wouldn't have to have any other point of use filters. But I would have your particular water tested at a local lab.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you, Laura. So the reverse osmosis system, they have to be replaced every so often, right?
Usually every year or two, depending on the system. It's just the filters that need to be changed.
Are they charcoal-based?
There's three or four different filters, depending on the system, and one of them is a charcoal. But the problem with those is they take everything out, right?
And, so no nutrients of any kind?
Nothing.
So no taste?
Correct.
Which, I mean, if you have really bad things in, it's probably a worthwhile trade. Put some salt in the water and have a drink. Let's go to Tom in Albany. Tom, you're on.
How you doing, Ian?
Hi, Tom.
I got a question about an old brownstone that I own in downtown Albany. I'm getting some knocking in the pipes in the basement apartment, and it seems to be after the flushing of a toilet and the kind of the tank refilling, and the pipes are knocking throughout the whole entire house after that. I've tried a few things. I've turned the water supply off to the entire house and drained all of the pipes, tried to get the air bubbles out. But it seems to be maybe a water pressure issue, because if I turn the water back onto the house only like half blast, I don't get the knocking. But if I open the valves all the way up, I get that knocking back. Do you have any suggestions?
Absolutely. So you've already diagnosed it. You've already found the toilet. Chances are it's a pretty old toilet. It's probably the old ball cock type fill valve. And it's the first thing we look for when we hear that, because if you didn't have the knocking before, it's got nothing to do with the way the pipes are installed in the house, and it's probably just that toilet. Usually it's a washing machine. It's a quick closing valve, so it's usually a washing machine, okay, a toilet, something like that. So the problem is the toilet that you've already isolated, remove the ball cock and put in a new ball cock or a fill valve, like Fluid Master type, and that should solve your problem.
Okay, so no need to replace the whole toilet, just the ball cock.
Well, I mean, it's up to you. It sounds like it's a rental, so you probably don't want to buy a new toilet. But, you know, if you're living there, I would suggest that you do. But, yes, you can just replace the fill valve.
Okay, wonderful.
Thanks,
hey,
Tom.
Tom, thanks a lot for the call. Ian Cowan is our guest of Mr. Reuter Plumbing in the Hudson Valley. The number to call is 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Christina in Lenox, Mass. Christina, you're on.
Hi. I just discovered this morning that the water in the upstairs toilet is dirty. And all the water everywhere else, the downstairs toilet, the sinks, everything else, is clear.
Huh. Is it?
So like, I don't know.
Is it like
a
brown rust color? Or what?
Well, it's like it's dirty. When I originally noticed it, it looked like I had forgotten to flush it. So it was sort of like light. And like yellowish, and then so I kept flushing, and now it just kind of looks dirty, and so does the water in the tank.
Okay. How old's the house?
Oh, it's an old house, but this is a new toilet.
Well, it's probably not my guess is, and without actually being at your house, generally what we find is older houses usually have like old galvanized pipe or old brass pipe, and you could be getting some of the minerals from in the pipe, or you could be getting some corrosion if it's galvanized, and that could be getting into the toilet, and that could be your problem. You'd have to have somebody figure out what kind of pipes you have in the
house.
Would
that happen overnight, though?
Probably.
It just happened this morning. Right.
But it may have been getting there and not noticing it.
Interesting.
But that's
usually something. And it wouldn't show up in any of the other pipes.
Well, it depends.
It wouldn't show up in the sink or the shower or any place else.
Some of the other things may have been replaced. It could be. The problem is that there could be, you know, one of 10 different things. So it's hard to diagnose without actually being there.
Now, if we were to apply logic, and of course, I'm not a plumber, I'm not even close to an assistant master plumber, but if we applied logic, wouldn't it follow logically that problem is very near the upstairs toilet?
Yes, because otherwise you would be getting it in the other fixtures, because usually they'll branch off somewhere. So wherever it branches, you're probably okay. But you also have to remember
it might be a feed in from that wall.
Correct. But you also have to remember that toilet is getting that water standing there. You're not running water in your sink and letting it sit. So you may be getting the problem in that bathroom completely and not even noticing it.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Christina. We appreciate the call. And our number here is 800-348-2551. Janice in Buckland, Mass. Has been waiting a while. Janice, you're on.
Hi there. I'm wanting to know about outdoor toilet system. We spend a lot of time outdoors in the summer. We farm it on our land, and we have 5 acres. So I would just love to know what would be the first step for having a composting toilet outdoors or some kind of an outhouse setup. And another part of the question is, do regulations vary from county to county or town to town? And I realize you're in Hudson and probably don't know Massachusetts regulations, but are they somewhat universal?
Somewhat. Massachusetts is known for being a little strict on the regulations, so you'll have to contact your local municipality. And local codes outweigh state codes, so meaning that...
So that's the start with the Board of Health, is that right?
No, I would call your local plumbing inspector. But I'm just going to warn you ahead of time, the problem that you're going to have with a composting toilet is getting it cleaned out. So most places that own... pumping trucks that would pump septic systems and things like that don't want to touch composting toilets, because there's no liquid there. It's very solid and hard and It's not good for pumping. So I don't know how to say that without making you cringe there, Ray.
No, sorry. It's fine.
But so your big problem is going to be getting it cleaned out. And
I kind of thought that I would end up with, like, you know, almost like soil, or I guess, you know, a stage before, but something that's not too vile.
Sounds pretty vile.
You're going to have to get them pumped, and the problem is there's no liquid to add to the pumping, so they have to run a lot of water to break it up and pump it out. So just check into that and make sure that you have somebody local that can do that for you before you spend money on composting toilets and get stuck with them.
So call the town first to find out about regulations?
Just call your local plumbing inspector.
Okay, and would you recommend a particular brand? Do you know composting toilets at all?
We've actually put a couple in Woodstock, and I forgot the name off the top of my head, and I apologize. But they seem to all work fine.
Okay. Thanks,
of course,
Janice.
In Woodstock, they can get away with that.
You said it, and I didn't. Thank
I
you
didn't
very
either.
So, all right, just while we have a second here, what the blazes is a composting toilet?
It's basically an outhouse that you reuse the.
I'm sorry I asked. Let's go back to the phone.
They usually use it for gardening, Ray. It's
good.
Oh,
I see.
It's good.
Yeah, sure. So. That makes sense. Nancy in Amsterdam. Nancy, you're on.
Hi, how are you? I think it's a simple question.
Okay.
I have a bathroom that is three piece. It's tub and toilet and sink. And I want to take the tub out because it doesn't drain well. And I think the toilet, you know, the bathroom's big. I just want it to be a lavatory. So I'm wondering, can I take the tub out and move the toilet to where the tub was and still use the same drainage, or do I have to change all that out?
Absolutely not. You have to change the drain out. So a tub generally requires an inch and a half drain line, and a toilet requires a minimum of a 3-inch drain line. So it's not going to be big enough. Sorry.
That's a chunk of change, right? That's a little more expensive proposition.
Yeah, usually. Not so cheap.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks
a lot, Nancy. We appreciate it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Over to Megan in Western Massachusetts. Megan, you're on.
Hi there. I had a very unfortunate plumbing issue where a valve in the toilet in my basement, it's a finished basement, basically went dead, and it flooded my entire basement. And lots of money later, it's all fixed and everything. But my question is, how do I check and make sure the same valve is working okay? How long do I wait?
So it's a fairly simple question. Usually, whoever your plumber is that you use, most plumbing companies now have maintenance contracts or membership programs. They'll call them all kinds of different things. But usually that comes with either an annual or a biannual check of all of your fixtures and valves. And then what they should do is they should exercise. So the problem is, you should exercise those valves at least once a year, probably twice a year. But the problem is that when you do that, they may fail. So a lot of customers say, if it's not broke, don't touch it, leave it alone. I don't want to see that, because if you break it, then I have to buy a new one. But they really should be exercised regularly, at least once or twice a year, just to make sure they're still in good working condition.
And when you say exercise,
means close
exorcism?
No, I mean, I just mean close it, make sure it shuts off, open it back up, make sure it opens, make sure nothing's broke. There's a stem in there that could break. There's a rubber gasket in there that could break off. So you just close it, make sure it's off, you open it, to do that to every one of your what they're called emergency shutoff valves. That's the valve that's by every fixture. So you'll have a hot and a cold on your sink, and you'll have a cold on your toilet and your washing machines and all that stuff.
Okay, so is that something I can do by myself? Or?
Yes. You just turn it off, make sure it goes off, turn it on. But sometimes there's what's called a packing in there, and that may leak when you exercise the valve. So you have to tighten what's called the packing nut. Because sometimes the stem will stick on it, and you can just look that up online. Just do a search, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's just like a small eighth or quarter of a turn of a nut that's actually holding the stem in place, because sometimes that will loosen when you exercise the valve.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. Quickly, before the next one, let's go to John in Oneonta. John, you're on with Ian Cowan.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Quick problem. I replaced the kitchen faucet, and a little while afterwards, I started getting very slight water hammer. There is a device that was put in 23 years ago when the house was new to defeat any water hammer noise. It looks like a saucer placed upside down over another saucer. If water has entered there, could that have caused it, you know, because there's no more air to absorb the vibration? And can I repair it myself?
So, unfortunately, John, I'm not sure what you mean by the saucer. Usually, old school, when I first started doing plumbing 20-some years ago, we just put what we called air chambers. So we would put, pipe in with the copper pipe, and we would put a piece of copper tubing up with a cap on it, and that was our water hammer arrestor. They now make things that are just, they look like cylinders, and they're water hammer arrestors that you can screw into a pipe that you obviously you have to solder on some threads, and then you screw that in. So I'm not sure what the saucer thing is. That sounds more like
it
something
looks
on
like
the
a diaphragm
line.
Of some sort, maybe.
Well, that's what it should be if it's water hammer, and if it unscrews, you can probably replace it. Just unfortunately, I'm not familiar with the one that you're talking about. I can't picture it. But maybe just do a search and look for whatever brand name is on there, because I've never seen anything with
saucers.
Well,
does it appear to be soldered on or screwed on, John?
Soldered.
Well, then that'll be a little tricky.
Yeah, then you're probably not going to be able to replace it without
soldering. And one more question.
Sure.
Only in one faucet. The shower, it's a single handle. When I turn it to go on, it comes cold and it turns all the way to hot, but I don't get the full hot. It's the only faucet that does that.
Is that the one you just replaced?
No, the one that I replaced was in the kitchen sink.
So the other thing, two things real quick, because I know we're trying to get out of here, but two things is, one, the new faucet could be your problem. It might not have anything to do with the piping of the water hammer. So could be a piece of, like I told the last caller, there's a little rubber piece on the end of the stem on your shutoff valve. And sometimes when you open that, it cracks off and it gets caught in the faucet.
Right.
So you may want to just turn the water off, take the faucet, disconnect it, and make sure that there's nothing in there, because that could be your water hammer. And then on the shower valve, if it's new, there's an adjustment in there that you can you take the handle off, and then there's it's an anti-scald mechanism that will cause you not to get as much pressure on the hot side. But everything's also pressure balanced, so you can't get straight hot water out of a shower valve anymore. That's what a single handle faucet is. So it has
How
to have
is that,
a balance.
The type of faucet,
the pressure balance
type of mechanism.
The pressure balance has been around for probably 15 years, if not more.
John, thank you so much for the call. We're overdue for a break here. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Plumbing Today with Ian Cowan. We'll be back with the home stretch.
Support for WMC comes from Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst-Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig. A worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972, PelhamAuto.com. George Heigl Cowan's representative, accepting consignments of jewelry, fine art, historic firearms, American Indian art, historic items, and more, 518-396-7974. Colby Attorney Service, corporate formations, document retrieval services, court filings, and legal publishing for the legal and professional community. Since 1939, ColbyService.com. Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing logo and print design, web development, and digital marketing throughout the capital region and beyond, marketing creative and business ideas since 1996, iMediaConsult.com. And Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine. Exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com.
As Vox Pop on WAMC and The Plumbing Show today. Ray Graff here, joined by Ian Cowan. And, you know, it's funny how we get on themes. And one of the email themes here is about cleaning heating systems. Have two quick emails before we get back to the phones. This one's from Duncan. I have a System 2000 furnace. I had it cleaned and serviced 5 years ago. How often should I have this done?
Well, he didn't say if it's gas or oil, but System 2000 is actually made by Energy Kinetics,
okay,
and it's probably one of the best boilers on the market.
Okay.
They're sold for oil mostly because there's about a 40% savings in your energy cost. So I'm guessing it's oil.
Okay.
And if that's the case, he should have it done once a year, but he should also have it done by an EK-certified person. We had to go to Lebanon, New Jersey to get certified in EKs. And then they give you a troubleshooting guide. They teach you how to use that unit because it's unlike anything else. So make sure that they're EK certified, but get it done every year.
Okay. And then now we have one from Ann in Ashfield who has a Buttarusi Logamax Plus GB142.
You got me, Ray.
10 years young home. Propane. Is it necessary to have a yearly maintenance service on the Buttarusi Logamax Plus?
Ah, Badaris.
Oh.
Okay.
Maybe the spelling's incorrect
that's
here.
That's okay. That's going to be a Badaris boiler. So I would recommend anything other than natural gas that you get cleaned every year. Oil's most important. Propane's next. Natural gas, they recommend every year, but natural gas is so clean that I got to be honest with you, I never clean my furnace and I never clean my water heater.
You don't say that on the air.
I did.
Okay, let's go to, wrong button there, Raymond. Janice in Ballston Spa. Janice.
Yes, hi. Hi, guys. I'm on my way to Saratoga to go buy a new faucet for my shower.
All right.
And I'm curious, when I buy it, do I need to get Teflon tape or special tools, or is it pretty easy to switch out the old one for the new one?
Love this question.
Well, what are you replacing? Just like the shower head or the tub spout?
Just the shower head in the shower. It doesn't work well at all. And I noticed, I think because it's plugged up and stuff, it's actually hurting the sheetrock a little bit because I think water's squirting backwards.
Gotcha. So most of the shower heads that you buy nowadays will come with a little bit of Teflon tape on them. They'll have a little tiny roll with them, but you just want to check whichever brand you buy. But you can get a regular roll for a dollar or less, so it wouldn't hurt to pick up a roll of Teflon tape.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Any special tools, or is it done by hand, or do you need wrenches?
So you should probably use like a crescent wrench or an open-end wrench because you don't want to scratch it. But if you don't care about scratching, you can just use any kind of pliers you want.
I usually use pliers, but I'm very messy when I do such a thing.
We just try not to damage things when we put them in, so we use crescent wrenches or open-end wrenches so that we don't scratch the...
I suppose an adjustable wrench would be easy, right?
That's what a crescent wrench is.
Right. Well, so yes, you can have certain size crescent wrenches,
correct?
Right?
Well, no, a crescent wrench opens and closes. So an adjustable wrench would work great.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Thanks, Janice.
How are you?
Good.
Thanks a lot, guys. That's very helpful. And I know you probably can't name brands, but is there a certain brand I should look for, or just...
Showerhead?
Sure,
go ahead.
Ray says it's okay. Personally, I would stick with Delta or Growy. That's all I put in my house. But you can use anything you want.
There you go. Well, Janice, thanks a lot. And over to Cynthia, who's been waiting an amazing length of time. Cynthia and Kerhonkson, you're on.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I need a little education here. We just had a well drilled, and it's 325 deep. It's 50 feet from the house. The water came up about 20 feet from the top of the well, and it has a 6 gallon per minute flow. So my question is, actually sort of three-part, I know we have to have a pump set in the well. My question is, how deep is the pump supposed to be set? Is there a line that is supposed to extend from the pump further down into the well? And if so, how long should that line be?
No, you don't need a line from... So submersible pump is the bottom of what... The pump actually pumps the water up, so there's nothing past the pump once you put it in. Unfortunately, with that information, I can't tell you. If the water is 20 feet from the top, that's called the static line. But you also need to do a test to find out how many gallons a minute it's going to run and how quickly that water drops as it's pumping those gallons. So you said you're getting 6 gallons a minute, but you need to know how far it drops to give you those 6 gallons. And then they determine, you know, it's just a chart. We just look at a chart, and that determines how deep the pump needs to be set.
But that's very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. If they drilled it 320 feet, so generally when they drill a well, they usually drill it to where you set the pump about 10 feet below the bottom. But that sounds pretty deep if you have a static line that's only 20 feet down. So I would definitely, you know, find out what those ratios are, and just there's a chart. You can look at it online to you know, correlate with what your well pump or your plumber guy is looking at. You'll be able to see. Okay?
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Cynthia. We appreciate the call. And let's go to Sherry. Where are you calling from, Sherry?
Plymouth, Vermont.
Ah, well, you are on.
Okay. I have two questions. We are building a new house and are going to put in a shower room to make it handicapped accessible. How easy is it to put in a linear floor drain for a homeowner?
What is a linear floor drain, Ian?
Well, I'm guessing she just means a floor drain on the floor for the shower, correct? So you can walk in and out?
It goes parallel to the wall.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right. So, you're talking a trough. Okay, so a trough drain. That's fine. It runs along a trough, and then there's a there's one spot in it, depending on which one you buy, either to the right or the left or the center, and then that just gets piped into the drain. So it runs the same.
But it's on the side, right?
Yeah.
You can walk in. There's nothing in the middle of the
wheelchair can go in and,
gotcha.
And not get.
I understand
stuck.
Now. Okay.
Correct. And they make them in L shapes as well, so you can get both sides and not just one.
Oh.
There's a lot of different versions of them. I wouldn't recommend that a homeowner with no plumbing experience put in any drain, but
husband claims he has experience.
So if you're putting it in an existing spot,
this is a brand new house.
So the most important thing is venting. So there's 8 legal forms of venting in the United States, and it has to be vented, you know, one of those ways. So without the and in my opinion, that's actually what makes us plumbers, because venting is not the easiest thing to do. Replacing pipes is not that hard most of the time, but actually installing vents and doing that thing and make sure, because if it's not vented properly, if you think about a straw and you put your finger over the top of a straw, you put it in a glass of water, you remove your finger, you put it back on, you lift the straw up, the water's stuck in the straw. You remove your finger, the water goes out. Same thing with your drains. If it's not vented properly, the water's never going to drain. So just make sure he understands venting, and if he does, great. If not, call a plumber.
There you go.
Okay, I have one other question.
Sure.
The pan underneath, is it possible to use a membrane like bitumen and wood instead of putting mud down there before we put the tile down on the floor?
So they make 2 different kinds of liners. One is lead and one is vinyl. So, and that needs to go under any base that you put in. And so that goes in, and it needs to come up on the side of the wall, and that's in case.
Right.
And then you tile over that, or I don't know, you know, whatever you put in there. Usually it's tile, and usually it's gibcrete or some sort of, you know, adhesive there. I would check with a flooring person to ask them to make sure it doesn't affect the vinyl liner if that's what you're using, because that's mostly.
But you can use a vinyl liner on top of wood.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
We usually do.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thanks,
Sherry.
Thanks
very much.
Thank you.
So there are 8 approved types of venting.
Yes.
Is running out in the street swearing one of them? Because that's usually the one I usually do. All right, let's go over to Maxine in Harriman. Maxine, you're on.
Hi. I have a problem with our toilet. At least I think it's a problem. But about every 2 minutes, because I've laid there and counted up to about 120, it sounds like there's water running, and then it will, for about 10 seconds, and then it will stop. And then about 2 minutes later, it will do the same thing all day long. And I was wondering, is there anything desperately wrong? And if there's something wrong, can it be easily fixed? We rent, we don't pay for the water, but I don't really want the water running. And I tried. Yesterday, I tried turning the handle that would turn the water off that goes to the tank, and it still did it.
So, we usually get this call every time I come in here, so it's a pretty common one, and it could be a couple of things. Since you're renting and it's not your home, it's very nice of you to not want to run up the water bill for your landlord. That's very respectable, and we commend you for that. So you may want to try just buying a flapper, which is the part that's connected to by a chain to the toilet handle, and that could be the problem. It could be that the handle is off and not seating properly. It could be the seal underneath the flush valve, which is that centerpiece that the flapper sits on, could be leaking into the toilet. But basically, you're getting a little bit of water that's slowly leaking from the tank into the bowl, which causes the fill valve mechanism to actually kick on, run a little bit of water, and shut off. So you have some sort of leak there. Could be a very easy fix with a flapper. Could be, you know, just tightening the toilet handle in the correct spot so that the flapper makes a seal. Or it could be that you have to take the entire tank off, remove all the tank to bowl gaskets and seals, and replace them and put it back down. So it could be a bigger job, but might just be a flapper. So if you want to try that for a few dollars and get the annoyance out of the way, that may solve your problem. And Ray can tell us. He did a flapper last time.
Yeah, and all the ones that say universal are not necessarily universal. I bought about four different kinds before I finally had one that actually worked. Good thing is they're very cheap. Very cheap.
Oh, okay. I know we've had problems with the handle. The chain wouldn't stay on the handle. In the past, when we first moved here.
Well, so the chain could be in the wrong spot and not letting the flapper seat all the way down. So what you want to do is you want to look and see if there's any slack. If there's no slack in the chain when it's just sitting there, then maybe you want to just adjust the chain down a little bit.
There you go.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense. Thank you, Maxine. We appreciate the call. Let's go over to John in Poughkeepsie. John, you're on. Did I hit the wrong button again? No, he's there. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hello.
There he is. Hi, John.
Hi there. I have a question about a water softener. Is the proper way to run the water softener to have both hot and cold line after it throughout the whole house? Or is it better just to run the cold line to the water heater for it?
Yeah, that's
cold water be untreated.
The only way it should ever be installed is you should never run hot water through a softener, and I wouldn't know how you would run two pipes. They only have one in and one out.
I meant before the hot water heater. Do you only have to treat the line going to the hot water heater?
Correct. Yes.
Or do you treat all the water through the house as well?
Well, by putting it so where a softener goes, are you on a well?
Yes. Okay. Well, with a softener.
So it goes right after your holding tank, which is again either a big blue tank or a big gray tank most of the time, and it goes right after that. And depending on if you have other treatments, so if you have an acid neutralizer, that goes before. But if all you have is a softener, that goes right after the blue tank.
Yeah.
And that will treat all of the water in your house because the hot water is fed by a cold water pipe. So it does treat everything in the house.
John, thank you so much for the call. Quickly over to Chris in Western Massachusetts. Chris, you got a couple of minutes here.
All right, I'll do my best. So I had a last fall, I removed a fiberglass lined hot water heater and installed an on-demand heater. What happened shortly thereafter was, I believe, because of bacteria, and this particular on-demand unit has an aluminum heat exchanger, I get a very sulfury smell for the first, I don't know, 45 seconds to a minute after I turn on the hot water. So, and then I suppose a secondary problem is that I have rusty water, which is not really as much of an issue for me. But I'm wondering if there is, you know, what can I do to get rid of this bacteria? Is it going to involve some sort of a whole house filtration system? And it sounds like from what I've read that a water softener can actually make the problem worse. So any comments on that?
Lots. So okay. you're on the right track, Chris. And actually, your iron or your rusty colored water is as big of a problem as your sulfur because they're one and the same. So it sounds like you have an iron eating bacteria. So what happens is that bacteria, the byproduct of that bacteria is the sulfur gas, and that's why you're only getting it in the hot water. So you need to treat for that, and those are the hardest ones to get rid of because they hide behind the iron. So even on a UV light system, sometimes you don't get them all because they hide behind the iron. So you need to get the iron out first, and then it needs to go through a UV system and filtration. So there are softeners on the market that remove iron. Since we're naming names and we did before, I'll tell you there's a brand out there called Lancaster. made in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and they seem to have the best products on the market, and they make something called an iron soft water softener, and then they make special systems just for sulfur, because sulfur is one of the hardest things to get rid of. So they make systems just for that, so you might want to find a local person that deals with Lancaster.
All right, Chris, thank you. We appreciate it. All right, Ian Cowan, this one came in via email from Mike, and we've been on this theme today with the email. Is there any value to draining and or flushing a gas-fired hot water heater? Some say that this prevents mineral buildup. Please comment on how the use of a water softener affects this.
Yes.
What?
So factory recommendations say you should flush and refill every single year. But again,
I've never done that.
Me either. But
really?
Yeah, I sometimes you can cause more problems. So if there is, water heater is going to give you about 10 years, give or take, no matter what you do to them. So you can actually clog things up and cause problems when you drain and flush. But it's recommended by the manufacturer. So yes, you should do it.
Ian Cowan, what's the website for you guys?
Mr. Reuter of the HudsonValley.com.
Fabulous job today. Well
Thank
done.
You, sir.
All right. So support comes from Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years, QFCC.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans with weekly tastings, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins. Grapesandgrainswine.com. Northeast Solar in Hatfield, Massachusetts, helping Pioneer Valley residents live more sustainably with solar power. For home, business, or farm, keep solar local, northeast-solar.com. And Curtis Lumber, specializing in deck and dock design, featuring Trex composite decking and railings, pressure-treated wood, and more. Design consultation available, curtislumber.com. Thanks again to Ian Cowan for his expertise today. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who did a nice job at the controls. I'm not really that surprised. I mean, usually it's pretty good. Joe Makowitz answered the calls. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's another exciting show that I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you about it tomorrow at 2, and we'll both find out.